I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Now, let's pray. Father, we thank you for August 2nd. We thank you for the opportunity to have a global service, to have a global Healing Jesus service, to encourage ourselves and to challenge ourselves to go further and even to do more with the gospel. We believe the gospel is on your heart. The souls of men is on your heart. You do not want anybody to perish, but all to come to the knowledge of the truth. I pray, Lord, and thank you for the opportunities that lie ahead. COVID-19 has come to close all those doors that were open, but it is also for us to learn and to realize that we do not have forever and we will not have always, that the doors that are open today may be closed tomorrow. And so, Lord, we thank you. And we're asking for one more chance. We're asking for one more opportunity, Lord, that when this season is over, and let this season be over soon, Lord, when the season is over, may you cause the doors to swing wide open.
Yes. And
we promise you, Lord, that as wide as the doors open, so will our rush be to enter and to preach the gospel to as many as you will allow us. We thank you for the opportunity already in advance, in Jesus' name. Now, this morning, we're asking, Lord, for your visitation in the preaching, teaching, and sharing of your word. We pray, Lord, that you will encourage us and stir up in us a desire to pray and to join the season of prayer through the flow services, the flow prayer meetings, in Jesus' name. Bless our time in your word, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Now, last week I was sharing with you about prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I told you my aim for sharing with you about prayer, which is that I wanted to stir up in you and challenge you to be sure to join the flow prayer meetings that we are having right now. You see, it's important for all of us to develop a right perspective on what we're experiencing right now, or what the world collectively is experiencing right now, you know. And as you can see, this situation seems to be something that will be around for a while. It looks like this thing is not ending soon, okay? And we have truly entered a new season. We've entered a new era. It's not just a temporary suspension or a temporary change in our mode of operation, but really it's something that is probably going to be with us for some time, you see. And we can see the signs of it. That's why people don't seem to be able to wait, and people are fed up. People are still, going to the beaches. People are in crowded swimming pools without masks. I mean, people are just trying to live, because everybody is starting to realize that, you know something, we cannot stay indoors forever, right? Now, we can see that this situation has changed, and with the change has also come, you know, the need to do new things and to change the way we operate, okay? And one of the things that God has given us for this season is the grace for prayer. through the flow prayer services that he has given us as a church. And if you look at the hours we're spending in those prayers, you can see at the beginning, I remember when Bishop said we should each pray, aim at praying for 240 hours for our lives and our future, 240 hours for each of us. And at the time, it sounded like a very long time. But this morning, as I heard them computing how many hours we've already spent, we've had something like 36 flow prayer meetings, 36 yep. of them already. And each of them with an average of maybe about 5 hours of prayer, because when we started, I think at the beginning it was just a couple of hours, then later we started to extend it. So you see that a lot of hours has gone into prayer already. And who knows, maybe those prayers are what have saved us. Not maybe, actually, I do believe that it is those prayers that have kept us, do you see? And I believe those prayers are important for the future. Those prayers are important for the days ahead, right? I mean, we're all hearing every day on the news the resurgence of the virus and all the attendant problems. And now it's more than before. 2 days ago, I heard that we recorded 66,000 new infections in one day. 66,000 new. It means it won't be long before you know someone who has it. If we go at that pace, it won't be long before you know or actually meet someone who has it, you see. And anytime I have to go out, I'm always looking around. I'm looking everywhere. Where's the virus? Where's the virus? I'm asking when I'm in a store, I'm just looking, who has it? Is it this one or this one? Who's the one who has the virus? And I'm trying to, you know, avoid them with my eyes as much as I can. But I see that, you know, it's getting closer and closer and closer. And except the Lord builds a barrier around us, you know, which we need, it won't be good. But I trust that God will take care of us and God will preserve us. God will keep us in Jesus' name. If you believe it like I do, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I want to encourage you to join the prayer. All right? Join the prayer. It may not be your style. It may not be something you're used to. It may not be something you've done before. But there's always a first time to do something good that needs to be included in your life. And God has blessed us. God leads his people and he changes how he leads them as the seasons change. When God was taking his people out of Egypt to go into the promised land, the Bible says during the day he led them by a pillar of cloud. Then at night, they still had to continue moving. At night, he changed the way he was with them. He led them by a pillar of fire. Do you see? So if you continue to look for a pillar of cloud at night, you miss the Lord. Do you yeah. see? And then at the same time, during the day, if you're looking for a pillar of fire, you also not find it. So God expected them to change as he changed. God expected them to take whatever he provided for them, whatever he gave to them for whatever season or time of day it was. That's what he wanted them to do, and that's what he wanted them to flow with. And so if God has given us prayer to keep us during this season, you must not absent yourself. You must not exclude yourself. You must count yourself in and try your very best to participate in it. Because it won't kill you. It will only bless you. It will help you. Hallelujah. So amen. I really want to encourage you to pray. Now, the prayers, the flow prayers are now broken into worlds. We have the first world of prayer, the second world of prayer, and the third world of prayer. And even this morning, I heard Bishop saying that he's going to, you know, it's going to be even shorter. Do you see? So we don't know how long it's going to be. You may not even have the opportunity to join the third or the second, as you may be planning. Okay, So I want to encourage you, please. And that's why I'm sharing on prayer. I'm sharing on prayer, and I have a goal. I'm not just preaching a sermon. I'm sharing to make you change your mind so you can join me. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Amen. Right?
So if you've already decided not to change your mind, no, then you're doing the wrong thing. Don't do that. Rather, you should say, I've already changed my mind. You don't even need to preach this message. Amen.
Amen.
All right. But let's learn this. Today, I want to talk to you about intercession. And intercession is, I'm sharing from chapter 20 of this book, How to Pray Prayers of Intercession. Okay. Now, what is intercession? What is intercession? Intercession, according to the dictionary, I'll read the definition of intercession from the dictionary to you. Now, the dictionary says intercession is the action of intervening on behalf of another. The action of intervening on behalf of another. And it actually says it is the action of saying a prayer on behalf of another person. That's the second definition. Okay. The second definition, according to the Google dictionary, is that it is the action of saying a prayer on behalf of another person. Okay. So what it means then is that when it comes to intercession, okay, when it comes to intercession, okay, you are not the subject of the prayer. The one who is praying the prayer is not the subject of it. The one who is praying the prayer is praying it on behalf of another person. So the beneficiary of the prayers is usually not yourself, at least not directly, but you can intercede for someone whose life affects you, you see. And so as it affects the person, or as God answers that prayer, that's how you gain. You can intercede for your brother or sister who is not saved, your boss who is not saved, or something like that. People whose lives affect you, and in that way, you also benefit from the answers to the prayer. But primarily, intercession has to do with standing in the gap and praying for other people. Hallelujah. And when God answers the prayer, the effect is on others. Other people's lives are affected by those prayers. Okay. Now, before I give you a couple of points, I just want to read with you two very interesting intercession stories, and then we'll get to the points. Two very interesting intercession stories. The first one is in Genesis, the book of Genesis. So if you go with me to the book of Genesis, and let's read maybe New Living Translation, so we can get the story, and so it reads quite easily, okay? So New Living Translation, Genesis chapter 18, okay? Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, okay? Now, in the stories, or in the stories that lead up to this point, God is upset with the city of Sodom, all right? The city of Sodom. And it was a very evil place. The people were very evil in their doings. You know, there comes a time when, you know, you tolerate evil up to a certain point, but there comes a time when you've had it, do you see? And God had decided that he was going to destroy the city of Sodom and the other city, twin cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. They always go together. And God was going to destroy those two cities. He was going to destroy everybody there. So he sent angels, and the angels came, and they were going to They were just on their way to the city to destroy it. Okay, but let's start reading. Let's start reading from verse 1. It says, the Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day. And he looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. My Lord, he said, if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey. All right, they said, do as you have said. So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, hurry, get three large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and bake some bread. Now, these men were the angels who had come to visit. These were the angels who had come to visit Abraham on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And when Abraham was able to get them to settle in with him, then he quickly asked his wife to organize some food. You know, every lady needs to know how to organize some quick food, you know, from your best flour and your best stuff, you know, very quickly, because you never know when an angel will come and visit your home. Do you see? So you must learn how to put some good food together very quickly. All right. Say amen, ladies.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Now, so verse 7 says, then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and the roasted meat and served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. Where is Sarah, your wife? The visitors asked. She's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Do you see how offerings seem to trigger a miracle? Do you see? Now, yes. This is a man who is not even asking for a baby. He has accepted that he and his wife will be childless. They have this, their servant, and they are just living peacefully with that situation. And now, as they gave that offering, you know, you notice how Abraham told his wife, do your best. Go get your best flour and knead it. And Abraham went and he went to choose a tender calf. Do you see? He didn't go find one that he was trying to get rid of. Do you see? As he was looking for a way to get rid of that cow, and then these angels, strangers have come by, you know, they have powers to make it tender. So let me just dispose of this one with them, you know. But he went for his best and he gave it to them. Then suddenly it triggered a miracle. Now he's the subject of a discussion for a miracle, someone who hasn't even asked for it. Right. So one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. And Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. And Sarah was long past the age of having children. You see. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? You see, you know, they had given up. They had given up. You know, sometimes you can have a problem and some issue so long you're just used to having it. You have rather learned a way around living with it, and that's your situation. You've accepted it. And now here was Sarah. She was being told, She's counted herself out, and the angel has come from heaven to count her in, provoked by her offerings. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. So, verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son, right? Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. But the Lord said, no, you did laugh. You know, this family was really close to the Lord. And you can see also how the Lord notices even what is not very obvious. The Bible says Sarah laughed silently to herself, but the Lord knew that Sarah was laughing inside her. You get it? So anytime you laugh or you mock at something you shouldn't laugh at, the Lord sees it, you see. So you have to be careful. Say amen.
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 Verse 16, the man then got up. Are you enjoying the word?
Yeah, he's enjoying it.
Very much.
The men got up from their meal and looked out towards Sodom. Okay. As they left, Abraham went with them to send them on their way. Should I hide my plan from Abraham? The Lord asked. For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. So the Lord told Abraham, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I'm going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. The other men turned and headed toward Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham. Verse 23, Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away both the righteous and the wicked? Suppose you find 50 righteous people living there in the city, will you still sweep it away and not spare it for their sakes? Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. Why would you? He says, why? You would be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same. Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right? And the Lord replied, if I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the city for their sake. Then Abraham spoke again. Since I have begun, let me speak further to my Lord, even though I am but dust and ashes. Suppose there are only 45 righteous people rather than 50. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And the Lord said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 righteous people there. Then Abraham pressed his request further. Suppose there are only 40? And the Lord replied, I will not destroy it for the sake of 40. Please don't be angry, my Lord, Abraham pleaded. Let me speak. Suppose only 30 righteous people are found. And the Lord replied, I will not destroy it if I find 30. Then Abraham said, since I have dared to speak to the Lord, let me continue. Suppose there are only 20? And the Lord replied, then I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Finally, Abraham said, Lord, please don't be angry with me if I speak one more time. Suppose only 10 are found there. And the Lord replied, then I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. And when the Lord had finished his conversation with Abraham, he went his way and Abraham returned to his tent. Hallelujah. Now, this is the first example of of how intercession works. You can see how this city has earned the wrath of God, and God is upset with the city and has actually descended on his way to destroying the place. And he said, I've had it with these people. Their sin has come before me, and I'm just going to check it out for myself. And if it is as I have heard it, then too bad. This city is going down. Do you see? So Abraham began to intercede. Abraham began to stand in. He began to stand in the gap between the people and the Lord. And Abraham was saying, Lord, please spare the city. You know, don't destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. Don't destroy the people who are doing good things there together with those who are doing evil things. You know, sometimes the presence of good people in an environment is the reason why a certain evil does not happen to that place.
Wow.
Yes. The presence of certain people in an environment. That's why we shouldn't underestimate even the effect that a small church in a community has on that community, on the spiritual destiny of that community and the spiritual atmosphere, even in that place. Because you can see, God says, if I can find a church of what, 45 people, you know, Abraham started from 50, thinking that, you know, he was saying something. Then he realized that you couldn't even find 50 people there so easily. And then he comes down to 45, then 40, then 30, then 20, and all the way down. And God says, if I can find even a church of 10 people, just 10 people in that place, I will not destroy the city. Wow. That's why we should not underestimate even the power and the effect and the importance of even small gatherings, even small gatherings. Do you understand? As we in the COVID season, there are lots of church services going on all over the internet. And that's a blessing for the world, I tell you. It's a blessing for the world that on Sunday mornings, more than it has ever been before, you have so many preachers on the internet who are preaching the gospel and giving people a chance to be saved. And many altar calls are being made. Many opportunities are being made. An offer to people just for people to be saved. It may be one of God's last messages to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To give people a chance, you know, to be exposed to every type of preacher that exists in the world. If you like black, you get black. If you like white, you get white. If you like mixed, you get mixed. If you like black tall, you get black tall. You get like black short. You get black short. You like black short with an accent. Black tall without an accent. I mean, you mix them up in any way you want. There's a preacher for you on the internet. It may be God's last mercy to the world.
Wow.
Yes, it may be one of the last, because the Bible says the gospel will be preached throughout the entire world before the end comes. And the internet is how we go to the world these days. Do you see? Yeah. And we can see that it's not possible and it's not likely that any one preacher will go through the entire world preaching the gospel. Even when we go to countries, we can only select a few cities in the countries and preach the gospel there, and then we have to leave. Do you see? So it's not likely that we will physically be in every single place to preach the gospel. Some of the gospel, perhaps a large part of the preaching will be done through this medium. Whereas I'm preaching right now, people can be watching and listening to the preaching all the way from Saudi Arabia, so long as they have internet.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Yes, Saudi Arabia, where else? In Europe, Eastern Europe, and different parts of the world, South America, and every part of the world, all they have to do is just to tune in. And basically, you scroll through your page, and if you see the preacher and he's your type, you stay with him. If he's not your type, you move on to the next preacher. Do you see? But I'm just saying that even small gatherings and seemingly insignificant efforts actually do count. and do make a difference and do help with the work of God. Can I have an amen? And
amen.
Abraham was pleading with the Lord for the people. And Abraham was pleading with the Lord. And you can see that as he was interceding and standing in the gap, the mercy of God was being extended. He said, okay, if you can find 40 people, I will not destroy. If you can't find 40, if you can get 30, I will not destroy. Okay. Now look at the second story of intercession. That's in Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And we can start also again from verse 1, Exodus 32 and verse 1. It says, then the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain. They gathered around Aaron. Okay. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So Aaron said, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and sons and daughters and bring them to me. All the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. When the people saw it, they exclaimed, O Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar in front of the calf. Then he announced, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. The people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. The Lord told Moses, quick! Go down the mountain. Your people whom you brought from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. How quickly they have turned away from the way I commanded them to live. They have melted down gold and made a calf, and they have bowed down and sacrificed to it. They are saying, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Then the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. I mean, you imagine how it would feel after the Lord had led the people of Israel out of Egypt, after he had brought all those plagues upon them and given them the opportunity to know him as God. And after he had done so much, including opening a highway in the Red Sea. I mean, just picture a highway in the ocean right there in the Red Sea. Imagine any of these highways, the I-5 or the 210, you know, running through the Red Sea now. And without any construction work, God opened the highway through the Red Sea and brought these people out of Egypt through such miracles. Do you see? And yet the people, even in the face of the opportunity to know him as God, they chose not to pay attention to him. And they decided to worship golden calves and worship other things instead of the one true God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And God was shocked. He called Moses. He said, come and see your people. How quickly they have turned away from the way I commanded them to live. You see, and they have melted down gold and made a calf, and they bowed down and sacrificed to it. They are saying, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Listen, stubbornness and rebellion will not go unnoticed by the Lord. The Lord will continue to notice it. I mean, as the world gets more flagrant in its display of sin and evil, expect a reaction from the Lord. Expect a reaction from the Lord, because it will not be like that forever. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 9, the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone so my fierce anger can blaze against them and I will destroy them. then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. Okay, so once again, you can see the Lord poised, ready for action, moving towards destruction that the people have earned by their disobedience and by their behavior, right? But Moses tried to pacify the Lord his God. This is verse 11. Oh Lord, he said, why are you so angry with your own people whom you brought from the land of Egypt with such great power and such a strong hand? Why let the Egyptians say their God rescued them with the evil intention of slaughtering them in the mountains and wiping them from the face of the earth? Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you have threatened against your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You bound yourself with an oath to them, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven, and I will give them all of this land that I have promised to your descendants, and they will possess it forever. And then verse 14 is the super verse. Look at verse 14. It says, so the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. The Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. Right. So once again, we can see the averting of wrath and judgment that was coming to people because someone cared to intercede on behalf of those people. Someone cared to engage the Lord on behalf of those people. Someone cared to stand between those people and the Lord. And that's exactly what intercession is about. When you become an intercessor, you are not obsessed with yourself. You don't go to the Lord talking about yourself. You don't go to the Lord talking about your own needs. You don't go to the Lord praying for yourself or trying to get answers to your own prayers. You go to the Lord with others in mind. You know, you go to the Lord with the mind to pray and to make a difference in the lives of others. But it just so happens that as you take care of that which belongs to others, you find God blessing you also. Let me show you a quick verse, you know, the book of Job, Job chapter 42, and where's chapter 42? Okay. Job 42 and verse 10. Job chapter 42 and verse 10. This is a very beautiful verse. You should underline it in your Bible. Job 42 and verse 10. It says, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Wow. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. When he prayed, not even for himself, but for his friends. When his friends were the subject of his prayer, when his friends were the subject of his fasting, when his friends were the reason for his sacrifices, the Lord restored his own fortunes. Because the Bible does say that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you see? The Bible says, whatsoever you have men do unto you, you do likewise unto them. If you want people to pray for you, you pray for people also. Do you see? But you can see that as Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his own fortunes. The Lord fixed his own situation. The Lord fixed his own circumstances. And as you become an intercessor, you're going to find that there are issues about you that God will sort out, issues about you that God will resolve, matters about you that God will take care of as your mind is on the lives of others. See, that's one of the reasons why you can't afford to exclude yourself when it comes to especially evangelism, as we're doing global evangelism and we're sending the crusade and salvation, you know, to others and so on. As you focus on others, you're going to find that you yourself, you start to experience those same breakthroughs that, and even more as others are experiencing. Hallelujah. So amen. With those two stories in mind, and maybe you can add this third one, and Job as the third example, let me give you very quickly five different things that happen as, or five different facts about intercession. Okay. Five things we should all know about intercession. All right. Now, number one is that intercession is a priority ministry of the church. Intercession is a priority ministry of the church. And the scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, right? Now, you can change the version now. You can change it. Let's do maybe New American Standard. New American Standard. Okay. All right. Leave it as it is. Leo, leave it. Just go back to the other one. Let's read that. Okay. He says, first of all. No, change it back to New Living Translation. That's okay. All right. He said, I urge you, okay, first of all, to pray for all people as you make your requests, plead for God's mercy upon them, and give thanks. Hallelujah. Now, the King James Version says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Okay, it says, first of all, that means intercession needs to be a priority. Intercession needs to be a priority in the church. He said, it's one of the first things we have to do, okay? Now, it's important. I know that naturally we are selfish people. We generally think more about ourselves than we do about others, right? But God is showing us that when it comes to prayers, it's important to learn how to put others at first and how to pray for others. So he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We need to pray for people, right? Then in verse 2, he says we should pray for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. We are supposed to be praying for kings, presidents, prime ministers, leaders, people whose decisions affect us. Do you see? And it says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That means the quality of life you lead has everything to do with the intercessions you make for the kings and leaders whose decisions affect you and whose decisions determine how you live your life where you live. Do you see? So it's important that we intercede for people. We intercede for presidents. It's so much easier to criticize a president than to pray for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's so much easier to criticize the president. I mean, why don't you just ask yourself or do a little check with yourself and you'll find out that you've probably hardly ever prayed for the president, but you said at least a word or two against him.
Yeah, I see.
Do you see? Yeah. You said at least one or two things about what you don't like about what he's doing or how he's doing it, his decisions, his choices, etc. But the truth is that it's easier to criticize leadership and never pray for leadership. People always criticize people who are in charge without even considering that we could pray for them and make a difference. It's important for us to pray. And the Bible says we must pray not only for the leaders, but for all men. That means we need to pray for all people. We need to make it a point to pray for people because prayer works and prayer changes things in our favor. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes lives. You cannot refuse to change under the influence of prayer. When you pray for people, it's like lighting up a fire under them, right? People are like lighting up a fire under a pot of potatoes. It can't refuse to change.
No. Nope.
You get it? It can't refuse to change. Now, when you're boiling or cooking things, depending on what it is, some things you just light the fire under it and in just minutes, it just changes. There are some other things that need to cook for a longer time before it starts to become tender. But most things will respond to the fire. As you keep cooking it and keep cooking it and cooking it, somehow something within it gives and it starts to become tender and it starts to become soft. It starts to respond to the fire that is underneath it. And that is what it is like when you pray for people. Sometimes you have relatives, friends, close friends, and people who are not saved, who seem not to care about the Lord. But I tell you, sometimes a lot of those people who seem not to care about the Lord are closer to their salvation than you may ever imagine. They are closer to it than you may ever imagine. And all they are waiting for is your intercession. They are waiting for you to stand between them and the Lord. They are waiting for you to pray on their behalf. They need someone like you to stand and contend with Satan for their souls, contend with Satan for their lives, contend with Satan for their salvation. They need somebody who cares enough about them, someone who is not just thinking about themselves, who is not only thinking about them having their own jobs here, them having enough money in their bank accounts. They need someone who can suspend their own interests, at least for a season, and take them up before the Lord and pray for them. And you will be amazed what the Lord will do for them and be surprised that in the process, you don't get left behind either, that God will take care of your own needs also. Hallelujah. So we need to make intercession in the church. Every church must pray for souls. Amen. And one of the reasons why we gather at night in the floor prayer meeting, if you've been coming to the prayer meeting, you notice these days we are praying for countries.
Yes.
We pick a whole continent and we start praying for the countries, country by country. And each country we pick up we select the seven top cities of the country and we pray for them. And we are praying for churches in these cities. We're praying for missionaries in these cities. We're praying for pastors in these cities. We're praying that God will establish his work. God will establish his word in these cities. And you can't afford to miss them, do you see? Because if that's how God responds to intercessors, as he did in the case of Job, then praying for these cities is surely not leaving us neglected. Can I have an amen? So amen. Let's do that. Number two thing about intercession, I'm giving you five quick ones. Number two, intercession saves lives. Yes. Intercession saves lives. Okay. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 32. Genesis chapter 18. He said, "O Lord, let not the Lord be angry." Right? "Let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." God said to Abraham that "I will not destroy the city if I can find 10 people. Just for the sake of 10, I will spare the city. I will spare the city because I found 10 righteous people there. So Abraham negotiated for the lives of these people, as we saw when we read the story, right? And God said, that's okay, right? That's okay. If I can find 10 people, I will spare it. And God was going to suspend the destruction, you know, because Abraham brought him to consider that 10 is enough. That 10, if you can find 10 people, is enough. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Your life may be spared because someone is praying for you.
Amen.
Right? And each of us must have personal intercessors, people who pray for us, you know, and we must have intercessory groups. We must have people who pray and who lift us up before the Lord. I'm blessed to have some people who care enough about me to pray for me. And I thank God for all of your lives, those of you who pray for me. And the Lord be with you. And Lord, raise people up to pray for you also. Hallelujah. But I'm just saying that intercession will save lives. It will save people from destruction. It will save people from dying before their time. It will save people from dying without being saved. It will save people. It will save lives from going down the drain and being destroyed and ruined because nobody cared about them. People only wanted to advise them. Sometimes we just want to advise people. We just want to warn people. We just want to threaten people, but we don't want to pray for them.
Mercy.
But maybe if we would convert some of the advice into prayer, some of the warnings, some of the threats, if we would convert them into prayer, we may get quicker results that will change the lives of those people. Can I have an amen?
Amen. Now,
the next one is that intercession gives you victory without casualties. Intercession gives you victory without casualties. Intercession gives you victory without casualties. Now, this is another example in Exodus chapter 17, where we see how intercession was determining the outcome of things. Okay, so Exodus chapter 17 and verse 10. Exodus chapter 17 and from verse 10. It says, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady. They were steady until the going down of the sun. Okay, his hands were steady until the going down of the sun because Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, right? Now it says, do you want to have victory without casualties and setbacks? Because sometimes you have victory, but the losses that you encounter in the process are too costly, you see. But through intercession, you can have victory without casualties. Mm-hmm. Through intercession, you become like Moses and have victory over the Amalekites. Look at how Moses was praying for the people. Moses went to the top of the hill. He went to the top of the mountain. And while the people were fighting, he had Joshua fighting down there with Amalek. Do you see? And then he took the posture. Leo, take it off. Take it off now. It's okay. All right. Yes, good. Now, it says he took the posture of prayer. He went up to the top of the mountain. You get it? And then Joshua was fighting the physical fight down there. He was fighting Amalek. Now, this story shows you what it takes to have victory, that it's a combination of the physical effort and the spiritual work that is done that brings victory to people. It's not all spiritual work, okay? Neither is it all physical and natural work. That what happens in the natural has everything to do with what is going on spiritually. Do you see? So you can fight very hard and work very hard in the natural, but if you don't have anything going for you spiritually, you may find that the outcome of the battle in the natural is actually against you. You're making losses. And you see how the story went. It says, Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek. Okay. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, as long as Moses' hand was up, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. Okay. When Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. That means Joshua and his people were winning the battle. But when Moses let down his hand, then Amalek prevailed.
Wow.
When Moses stopped lifting up his hand, when Moses stopped praying, when Moses stopped the intercessory work, when Moses stopped praying for the battle, then with the same forces and with the same efforts in the physical battle, they were now losing. Wow, this is interesting. That maybe the outcome of the battles of your life would change drastically if you would add a prayer component.
Yeah.
That maybe if you would rise up in the night and join the intercessory prayer, then maybe your physical efforts will finally pay off. And that applies to every area of your life. Whether it's your search for a job, you know, your quest to be married, you know, your pursuit of peace, and all the physical efforts that we make to have things work in a certain way, even including your health. Do you see? Yes. You may be taking the right medicines and all those things, but you know, we perhaps need to add the prayer component. Amen. We need the lifting of hands so that your physical efforts will pay off.
Amen.
So your physical efforts, your natural efforts will yield what they are supposed to yield. Do you see? And so you see, as long as Moses' hand was up, then Joshua was winning the battle. So much so that even when Moses got tired, they said, look, we need these hands to stay up. So they went and got some stones and they put the stones underneath him so that the hands will stay up. They made him sit down so he was a bit more comfortable. And that's it. Because sometimes, you know, to do what it takes to do what you must do is you need to make adjustments. You know, and when we're in the flow prayers, you see people are tired and all that. And then you see Prophet telling us to go get some coffee or get some tea. Sometimes he would say, rise up, walk a little bit, walk with me, walk this way with me, as though he's in your house with you. You get it? Because the fact that you are tired doesn't mean you should lose the battle.
Amen.
Yes. And you notice that the fact that Moses was tired was not excusing him, you know, from the outcomes as the outcomes were being determined. The fact that you are tired does not mean that the enemy will consider, okay, you are tired, so let me also rest. There's nothing like that. The battle is ongoing. The battle was raging. Hey. The Amalekites were fighting the Israelites. Joshua was in the midst of the battle, the thick of the battle, and there was nothing he could do. He needed Moses' hands to be up, and Moses was like, hey, I'm tired. But if you bring the hands down, we're dying.
Wow.
So then it calls for making maneuvers.
Maneuvers.
That makes the difficult thing easy.
Amen. Easy.
So maneuvers like sometimes taking a little nap so you can be strong before the prayer meeting. Maneuvers like making a cup of coffee, do you see? And I'm not talking about, you know, coffee that's almost like juice, you know, like a real juicy, flourishing coffee. That's not what I'm talking about.
With cream and everything.
A kind of coffee that is so flattering. I mean, as you look at the coffee, you feel like you're drinking some ice cream at night. You get it? Not that kind of coffee. You need to give yourself the kind of coffee that keeps you awake.
Amen. You're teaching us.
The kind of coffee that keeps you awake. So you can pray, because your tiredness will not be an excuse to be exempt from the battle. The devil never leaves people alone because they're tired. Rather, he gives them a harder and a hotter chase.
Hey.
Yes. If you watch some wildlife and you see how the lions go after the deer, they run after them and they run after them, and then there comes a point where you see the deer is now beginning to get tired. And they're slowing down. And as they're slowing down, that's when the lion or the leopard actually increases its speed, because it can see at that point that victory is just around the corner. They can see, that if I can press harder at this point, now that he's tired, now that he wants to sleep, now that he's feeling lazy, now that he has no one to help him to keep his hand up, now is the time to go after him. Now is the time to go after her. Mm. Yes. And especially sometimes when you are naturally unhappy, you are depressed, you don't feel like doing anything, you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like doing anything. That's when the devil turns the heat on, because you might make a good catch at that point.
Mm.
Yes, you might make a good catch at that point.
You might.
So it comes after people around those times. And you notice how Moses didn't go to pray alone. Moses did the right thing, because it's easier sometimes to pray with others. Do you see? Yes. When you're all by yourself and you say you're having your own private flow prayer meeting. You get it? Yeah. You won't even last 15 minutes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you're having your own flow prayer meeting. You're just going to have your own flow prayer meeting. We're having this one on Monday night. Yours is on Tuesday night.
Oh,
yeah. You start at 8:30 and fall flat asleep by 8:44. You'll be gone. You get it? So Moses took advantage of the others. He said, let me go with some people. Let's do it together. Let's do it in a group. That's why we have watch parties.
Amen.
Yes, that's the essence of the watch parties. A small group of 5-6 people in your center, and you get together and you check on each other. Because sometimes, you see that you are falling asleep. You see, and the way you know people are falling asleep is when the comments stop. When the comments stop, or when Bishop switches, you know, when he goes off, and then, you know, the people don't go off. Or sometimes even when the prayer is over and the people are still on, you know that they were long gone. Yeah, but it helps. Honestly, it helps. You know. It helps. I have a friend that stays up. I mean, for him, usually around that time is morning for him. So it's a lot easier for him. And he'd be texting me and he'd be making comments as we're praying. As Bishop shares the topics, he'll make a comment and he'll send it to me and I'll send it back to him. And we're praying and fellowshipping at the same time. And it's really good. It's really good. You need to have a prayer partner. You need to pray in a team. Do you see? So let's respect those wasentas and those watch parties that we create. Do you see? And invite people, join the group. And when you join the group, don't get all so spiritual that you're praying. No comments, not nothing. No, that's not how to do it. It makes it too hard, right? Yes, it makes it too hard. You need to have some fun while you're praying.
Amen. Yeah.
Have some fun. Or check on someone to see if they have some coffee left. Do you see? Well, it's time to make the next coffee or something, you know, and then just, you know, make comments and you see that the prayer will be easier. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then finally, one more point before.
Right?
Intercessors are great people. Intercessors are great people, right? Yeah. Why not? Because most people think about themselves.
Mm.
Yeah. Most people think about themselves. So you are not great if you're obsessed with yourself. I mean, you're not great. You're just like anybody would be. Do you see? You are ordinary when you think and care about yourself mostly. You're just you. That's what most people do. But people who are able to look beyond themselves and who care about others now begin to inch towards greatness. And so Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12, okay? Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12, it says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. I will divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Do you see? He shall divide the spoil with the strong because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Hallelujah. I'll read it again. It says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Okay. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Okay. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. That means he has sacrificed and was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many. He carried the burdens of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession for the transgressors, right? And he says that because of that, I will divide him a portion with the great. Making intercession is what qualified Jesus to have a portion with the great. If you become an intercessor, you will be a very great person. When you are an intercessor, you pour out your soul to people who are in sin. Through your intercessions, many are saved. Where few people are saved, it is because there is little intercession. You know, there's nobody praying. There's no one pouring out his soul on your behalf. That's why people remain saved. That's why your family remains saved, unsaved, I mean. That's why your dad is still not saved. That's why your mom is still not saved. Because there's no one who's willing to pour out their souls on their behalf. No one is making that sacrifice. No one is identifying with their sin. No one is standing by them and saying, Lord, save them, rescue them, save them, Lord. They don't have anybody like that. But that is changing after today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God sees intercession as a very great thing. He says, I will divide him a portion with the great because he poured out his soul and made intercession for the transgressors. So because you poured out your soul in prayers for people, you know, that's people you do not even know, God will make you great. God will make you great. You poured out your soul for people you don't even know. God will make you great. Hallelujah. The reward of intercession is greatness. God sees you as a great person. God sees you as a great person. Think of all the people you know. Great people we call great. All the great, even the richest people. And you'll find that they are all people who are obsessed with meeting the needs of others. They are obsessed with creating sometimes solutions for people. solving problems for people, fixing things for people. And they are the most rewarded people in life. Do you see? Yes. Sometimes entertainers are some of the richest people. Yes. It's because they are people who put aside their own problems and entertain others. They make others laugh. When they themselves often have many things to cry about, many entertainers are the saddest people when they are by themselves. That's why many of them do drugs. Because when they leave the limelight, they don't have any life. Many of them have no life. They are actually depressed and happy people themselves. But they are able to lay aside their own unhappiness and step on a stage to bring joy and laughter to someone's face and someone's life. And for that, they are rewarded heavily. Heavily, heavily. No wonder it says the Lord turned the captivity of Job. So Job was in captivity when he was praying for his friends.
Wow.
Yeah. Job had issues and he was praying for his friends. So if you're one of the people who thinks, listen, I have my own problems. Okay, let me mind my own business. If you're one of those people who thinks that way, then you're not about to have a breakthrough. You're not about to have a breakthrough. But rather, with everything still as it is, praying for others to have jobs when you don't have a job yourself.
Amen.
Praying for others to have a beloved when you don't have a beloved yourself.
Amen.
Wow, that would be an interesting one, actually. I'm thinking this nice-looking person has come around, and then, Lord, please touch his or her heart for this other person. When I could have him or her for myself, Lord.
An intercessor.
But you're a mega intercessor.
Yes.
And the Lord will make sure that you are not left out. God will reserve the very best for you. Okay. Look at that verse. Put it up again. Put that verse back before we close. Job chapter 42 and verse 7. Job chapter 42 and verse 7. It says, the Lord, verse 10, I'm sorry, not 7, verse 10. Verse 10. Job 42, verse 10. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Notice it. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Before he prayed for his friends, his own captivity and his friends' captivity remained. That's double captivity. So it takes one person breaking out and saying that, listen, I know I have the same problems as everybody else, but I'm going to stick my neck out to pray for others. And when he did, the Lord said, for you to take out others out of their captivity, that qualifies you for your own deliverance from your own captivity. And God gave him twice as much as he had before. He made Job twice richer, twice richer. Expect twice. Yes. Expect to have multiple job offers and be looking on the table and just be looking to see and comparing which one has, which one has more vacation. This one has 40-something days vacation. This one has 50-something days vacation. This vacation is paid. This one is not paid, and be sorting out because you've earned it as you prayed for others to have jobs. God is sending jobs your way also in the name of Jesus. As you pray for others, God is going to help you. And we do that. The Flow Prayer Meeting offers the greatest opportunity for doing that. Hallelujah. The Flow Prayer Meetings offers the greatest opportunity for praying for others. So tomorrow, it's on again. Tomorrow is Monday, and we have the Flow Prayer Meeting. And I want to take the opportunity to invite you one more time.
Amen.
one more time, please. Join us for the Flow Prayer Meeting, 8:30 on Mondays and Thursdays, 8:30 Pacific Time, 10:30 Central Time, 11:30 Eastern Time. And if it means catching a little rest and having someone wake you up when it's time to start, just do it. But it is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. As you pray for others, God will take care of your own needs.
Amen.
As you pray with others, you'll be able to pray longer. You will survive longer and pray the prayers you must pray. As we do it together as one big family, we'll make a greater impact. This is our chance. This is our time. Let's not let the Lord down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
With me, everybody, as we bring the service to a close. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Everybody bow your heads with me and let us pray. I want you to ask God, take a few moments and ask God to make you into an intercessor. Ask God, just say, Lord, make me into an intercessor. I want you to make me into someone you can count on to intercede for others. Yes. I want to be one of those who will intercede for others. Who will intercede for others in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody pray. Everybody pray. Everybody pray. Wherever you are on Facebook, Instagram, or right here on Zoom with us, let us pray and ask God. Say, Lord, give me the heart of an intercessor to intercede for lost souls. Oh God, I want to move away from always thinking about myself, thinking every good prayer must be prayed for myself and every good thing must belong to me. I want to move on from there to become someone who prays and who cares about others. I want to pray for and care about others in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Other people's brothers, other people's sisters, other people's parents, other people's relatives, other people's bosses. Yes. Pray for them. Pray for others. For others to have jobs, for others to have good marriages, for others to have good kids, others to give birth to children, others to know God better, others to be drawn closer to God. Pray and ask God to do this for others in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. For others. Help them, Lord. I want to be an intercessor in the name of Jesus. Yes. A true intercessor in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Pray, pray, everybody. And ask God to help you.
Lord,
make you successful. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you, oh God. We will be intercessors by your grace and by your help in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
As we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're right here with us on Zoom, or you are on Facebook or on the internet, or listening to the podcast, but you know in your heart that you're not saved, that you are not born again. I want to give you an opportunity to be saved. I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus as your personal Savior. It is an opportunity to have your sins washed away so you can be called a child of God. So you will not perish but have everlasting life. That's what this prayer is about. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to be saved, I want you right now to say this prayer with me. Just join me from wherever you are and let's say this prayer together. Say with me, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
And you died for my sins.
And you died for my sins.
So Lord Jesus.
So Lord Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
And let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Make me a child of God.
Make me a child of God.
Say from today.
From today.
I want to live for Jesus.
I want to live for Jesus.
I choose to live for Jesus.
I choose to live for Jesus.
From today.
From today.
My life will never again be the same.
My life will never again be the same.
Because Jesus is Lord of my life.
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say it again. Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say one more time. Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For my salvation.
For my salvation.
Amen.
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 Father, the Bible says, he that comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. And so I thank you for bringing these ones near to you. Anyone who has prayed this prayer with meaning, I pray, Lord, that you draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen.
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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And we'll now come to the Lord's table. We'll have communion. We'll have communion. And as usual, we want to go to the First Love Center and have communion with our Father, with our pastor. And he will lead us to have a wonderful time of communion, right? So let's do that now, if you're ready, yes.
Take your bread in the house. Take your bread. If you don't have any bread, but you must have bread. You cannot have bread. It's not right. Take your bread. Everybody take your bread. We are having communion. As we receive the body of Jesus Christ, all our needs for healing are manifested as we receive. Thank you for a longer life because of this daily communion and weekly communion that we're receiving. We thank you for a longer, fruitful, healthier life in the name of Jesus, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, take the wine. You can use real wine. You're at home. Get a bottle of wine. not that expensive. Lift it up. Lord, for the mistakes you knew we would make in advance, the ones we've made in the past, the ones we are making, and the ones we will make, may our sins be forgiven. May the curse be neutralized. Yes. When I see the blood, yes, I will pass over. Lord, let the curse pass over. May we be granted divine escapes from every wickedness. Divine escapes, yes, from the harvest of our mistakes.
That's right.
Divine mercy. Let our sins be remitted,
yes,
today as we receive the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus.
Now lift your hands for your blessing.
Thank you.
The Bible says God sent Jesus Christ to bless us. May you be blessed with a sudden advancement,
okay,
in your life. The end of a stalemate. The end of a curse. The end of a hard wall which resists you and resists your progress. May there be a performance of the things that were spoken by the Lord in your life. Whatever counts as a curse, whatever counts as a mistake, is washed away today by the blood of the Lamb. Whatever counts as a curse in your ancestors, your fathers, your mothers, the ancients that came before you, through whom curses have been transmitted, in the name of Jesus, may you be forgiven and may your sins be remitted. Have a blessing instead of a curse. Have a help from God instead of a curse. Have the grace upon your life instead of wickedness. See the goodness of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May this be your portion. May you be living every day in the presence of God and the presence of his power. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.